Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me in the studio, Amy Anderson, Production Coordinator. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Greg.
And Adam Coons. Adam, how are you, man?
Doing well.
Did you have a good weekend?
Very good. Went to the zoo. Some zoo boo.
Good for you. Did you watch Wisconsin-Purdue play?
I did not.
Because Wisconsin won.
I saw that they did win, but yeah.
Vicious defense. It's actually kind of a mixed season for the Badgers. All right. We got a lot to cover today. We'll talk about a little bit about where we are heading into the end of the year and just provide a context from an investment standpoint and rationalizing these elevated values. And then we're in the thick of earnings season, so we're going to start to go through some of the earnings stuff. But before we do that, let's just kind of talk about this general trend in higher interest rates. We had the close of the fiscal year at the end of September, so some of the data is now being published. So we've got a record. You know what the headline, Adam? It wasn't that we had a record deficit or the second highest deficit. The headline was that deficits declined. So it's like, oh wow, things must be going well. But the truth is, the deficit in 2020 was $3.2 trillion, and it declined last year to $2.8 trillion. So it's only the second highest deficit recorded history. So the cumulative debt, that's over $5 trillion during the pandemic, that's been accumulated to support the economy. That puts the GDP net debt to GDP is over 100%. So I think we're at 103% net debt to GDP to keep the economy going. So what does this all mean? The Chinese have done this. I mean, that's literally how their economy has grown so big, is they just funnel debt through their banking system and prop up their economies. We're seeing that, I guess, with Evergrande.
Yep.
They made their debt payment.
Their payment, yeah.
So where did that magically appear? But the truth is that the more that we go through this, we went through this in 2008. We went through this again in the last 2 years. Is it really it reduces the nation's flexibility to respond to these types of national emergencies? And the context for this, if you look at the first 230 years of our country, we accumulated almost $10 trillion in debt. And then since that period of time, the next 13 years, we added on $18 trillion in debt. It's just amazing the amount of debt. But I don't think there's ever been a period of time in history where we've had such low tax rates and high deficit spending. And I think the reason that's important is that the fiscal checks and balances, they're just not there. The revenue offset for the spending that we have, so that leads to issues around wealth and income inequality. And I think we're feeling that as a nation. It doesn't happen overnight. It accumulates over time, but over the last 10 years, it's certainly starting to feel that way. The interesting thing is that the Congress is wrestling with this infrastructure bill. And, the numbers range, I don't know, from $1 trillion to $3.5 trillion, whatever happens at any point in time. But what's being talked about now is a wealth tax.
Yep.
So not just increasing income taxes, but also a wealth tax, which would, in theory, tax unrealized capital gains on the wealthy. I don't know that they've set, it's been messaged as a billionaire's tax, but when you go into a wealth tax now, it's a whole new ballgame. So I know they're struggling to find places to tax, right? So we got to raise tax income. Anyway, that's where we're at. So we've always said that the combination of aggressive fiscal stimulus and aggressive monetary stimulus supports elevated valuations across assets. And that's both publicly traded and private assets, which includes real estate and other assets. So we're seeing that. We had a good week last week. So stock market was up.
Yep, stock market's up. bond rates were actually down last week.
So where is the 10-year now?
10-year's at 165.
Okay. And it touched one. It almost touched 170.
It did again, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm still in the camp that we're going to be closer to 2% than we are 1.5% at the end of the year, but I may be odd man out. It's like my high school years. Let's talk about some earnings. What do you got on the earnings side?
Yeah, so we're obviously right in the thick of it. Last week kind of was the mixed week with a lot of different industries reporting, but some of the big three had a different industries. Johnson & Johnson reported $2.60 per share versus a $2.35 expected, but they did miss on revenue, and that was really attributed to two things. One was their COVID vaccine sales were less than expected, and secondly, medical device sales were down, and that was really on the elective side. So a lot of elective surgeries because of the Delta variant have been postponed, or you know, just kind of the uncertainty around that. So a slight miss there, but overall, Johnson & Johnson has just been really strong this year. So the shares did actually rise on that miss. We had Netflix. This is one I was watching pretty closely just to see how that stay at home, you know, get out into the world and reopening.
Right.
And people are still sitting at home. Netflix did really well. They actually added 4.4 million new users on the global basis. So that beat by 500,000. So a really good quarter for new ads that was driven by Squid Games, which is the new popular show that we
had. I saw the preview. I can't do it.
No. We had our comments in investment committee about what that says about our society as a whole.
So what I did watch this last weekend, though, was this documentary on Selma Blair. So Selma Blair is the actress that in a family favorite, Legally Blonde. Mm-hmm. So she is the love interest to the, I forget the guy's name, but she's a great supporting actress, but she's got MS, and it just documents her struggles through it, and it is powerful to watch. Highly recommended. It was not the uplifting type of documentary, but she's we love the movie, and it was pretty interesting to watch. So
yeah,
different from
a little bit different.
Yeah, it's different from Only Murders in the Building.
Well, your favorite show is coming up now, right?
Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yes, my daughters and I would. My wife won't. She won't sit with us to watch that. But I did watch Black Widow.
Did you?
Yeah, and I realized that I probably needed to watch the movie before that because I haven't kept current on the Avengers movies, so
okay.
I wasn't really totally following.
There's a lot of movies. There's a lot to keep up with.
Keep going.
So then on the tech side, Intel released a very bad quarter, to be honest with you, and it continues to be the data centers that disappoint. And PCs didn't help. It actually declined 2% year over year, but data centers is kind of really where the growth is. And AMD is just continues to clean their clock.
So we've maintained that Intel's not investable.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is they've got a new CEO. They're trying to, quote unquote, turn the ship. But the problem in the chip industry is once you get IT guys stuck on a chip, you get basically a five-year cycle for it to turn around.
Right.
And Intel's just behind. So they basically have to look forward to, okay, what are we going to do in the next cycle? So this is probably going to last for a while.
So changing the names of your chips
didn't do anything. No. The other problem they're having is that Qualcomm is moving into the space with a cheaper chip. So there's just more and more competition. So, and then lastly, just real high level, Snapchat was down 25%.
Yeah, that was stunning. The darling of the tech industry.
Right. So, I mean, you've just got a situation where I think a lot of these social media, which we'll get into social media apps in a minute further, but the social media apps just are a little bit of a, kind of a fad, and they can kind of go by the wayside pretty quickly. And
well, I still have my MySpace account.
Yeah, it plays music when you log into it.
I don't remember the login or the password, but
which leads us into another social media app coming to market, which is Funware, which is Donald Trump's.
Oh yeah,
social media.
Now that came through a SPAC.
It did. So that was Digital World was the name of that. DWAC is the ticker, up 1,400%
in one day. So this is he announced this or did he announce this?
So the SPAC announced that they in part of their acquisition was going to acquire Funware, which is the who's right. driving the 2024 agenda for Trump and his social media, his yep. own app he's trying to create.
Right. And so, and then not to take the light off Donald Trump's company, but WeWorks also just...
Correct. Did. So there's a merger with WeWork, and the name of theirs is BowX. So just to paint the full picture here, if you remember that WeWork was trying to come with an IPO that failed.
2 years ago.
Two years ago, trying to value it at $9 billion. Like I said, it failed. So the acquisition or merger of this is actually going to value WeWork again at $9 billion. So the stock was up, 15% on that news. But so we're seeing... We saw SPACs kind of right through COVID pick up again.
Right.
They dropped off. We saw a lot of them trade down. And now we've got two that are really performing pretty well.
That's another example of in the industry, you're not wrong. You're just early.
Right. Well, I mean, and if you don't know what a SPAC is, it's a special purpose acquisition company, essentially a blank check. When they IPO, they literally don't know what they're going to do. You're giving them money to go and...
Mm-hmm.
do something
and find something, right? Yeah. So it's kind of a gamble.
It's a total gamble.
Yeah.
And then here it paid off.
Yep.
So there's that. And then coming this week is big tech. The earnings are
right.
in full force. We get Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet, and then lastly, Facebook. Facebook, who's been in the news quite a bit.
So all of the news, does the news surrounding what's going on with Facebook it looks terrible because it looks like they knew a lot of things that they were representing to the country in the press that they were doing the opposite, the Russian hacks. And does it affect earnings?
As far as what's come out so far, not at all. I mean, this is more of a narrative and politicians, trying to put Facebook.
Right. Big tech.
Big tech is, in general, on the stand and making them look bad. But at the end of the day, nothing has been done illegal as far as we can tell. Everything has been in the fine print. And while that may not look good for the company, it does not affect earnings.
But they did announce that they're changing their name, which will take the focus.
That solves all the problems, right?
So they haven't announced what the name's going to be changed to. That's coming up at the user conference, right? Or the developer conference next month.
Yeah. Which used to be the second name change because it used to be the Facebook, and now it's just Facebook.
Well, I'm going to predict it's either going to be Face or Book then. I'm going to keep shortening it.
I'm sure it'll be some weird name, but, like you said, it's a distraction.
Still a good company.
Yeah, but overall, I think what we expect is that tech will continue to be strong through this earnings season. Obviously, the expectations are high.
Yeah.
But many of the things that are driving big tech have not changed. Probably my biggest concern is looking at Apple and what's happening there with the chip shortage.
Yep. Yeah. And then as it relates to cloud, I mean, we've got AWS, the two leaders in the cloud space right now, Microsoft and AWS.
Yep.
That's part of what we'll be looking at with their earnings is the competitiveness in that space, whether it's growing.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Who are the winners and losers? Alphabet's a distant third in the cloud space, but as far as the trend has been, is that Microsoft Azure is kind of catching up to Amazon.
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff. Anything else on the equity side?
Nothing on my end.
Let's talk about bonds.
Okay.
Suck more of the fun out of the room talking about higher interest rates. So we've got some stability in rates. The Chairman Powell and has acknowledged that inflation may be more of a concern. in a speech last week. Yeah, thanks for the heads up. We've always been concerned that there is a risk of a policy mistake, that they let this run too hot too long because they've stoked demand. I mean, on the demand side, you see it especially in like used cars.
Right.
I mean, used car prices are off the charts. Yeah. You can't get a new car.
Nope.
So, but we're seeing it in demand is strong, but the supply is totally disrupted. Yeah. So, that's putting pressure on inflation. We see it through labor. Yeah. So, there's a labor shortage and, we expect all of this to persist for a while. Janet Yellen came out and said it should normalize in the second half of next year. We're in the camp that this is going to stay. We've got another year of this. So
yeah, I mean the rumblings are that California and New Jersey docks are going to have a strike as well. So that would be
right. And then we saw all those strikes 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and so the power has shifted to labor, and it's not going to just turn on a dime. I think this is the early stages of it. So we're going to see, I think, a more persistent level of inflation as things are slower to normalize in the supply chain.
Yep.
And it's going to get really weird next year.
Yeah. And there's not a store I go into that doesn't have a sign hiring now.
Right. Yeah, right. So the with the potential for higher rates and spreads are tight, what are we looking at in the bond market heading into the end of the year and then beginning first quarter next year?
I mean, returns are going to be lower, obviously. If you've got tight spreads and low rates, and rates end up going up, there's just no cushion in the coupon. So I think floating rate securities is a good place to look. I did write up a little bit on CLOs, and while that's not for the faint of heart, you know, if you can dig into those credits, that is a good place to go. There is still some spread. And like I said, they're a floating rate structure, so you protect it in a rising rate environment.
Yep. All right. With that, why don't we end it here? It was great to talk to you guys today. So we'll talk to you during the week and have a great week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.